Welcome to Witchful Thinking, a podcast all about being a witchy woman in the modern world we live in. Each week, you can listen to these two witches banter about witchcraft, spell work, current events, intuitive wellness, spirituality, astrology, tarot, and much more. Our goal here on Witchful Thinking is to create content that informs and centers our listeners and helps them look at the world around them in a much more meaningful, magical way. Thanks so much for tuning in, and be sure to follow the podcast on Instagram for daily updates.
Back to the podcast, everybody. Happy Friday. We're going to be kind of low energy, just a heads up on this episode.
We say that, and then we're going to be dying of laughter in about 20 minutes.
You know what? Speak it into existence. I mean, we're not going to be anywhere near the level that we were when I was eating chicken nuggets and carrying on and being an idiot, but...
No, you had pasta, so now you're going to be, like, carb coma.
Yeah, I really am. But this episode's going to talk about a lot of different stuff, but also just, like, a heads up in the beginning for anyone who does not want to listen to or just likes a trigger warning. We do talk about like some darker things to do with death and just some difficult shit. So just letting you know that. I'm sure I'll also put a trigger warning somewhere in the captions to like let you guys know more about what the episode actually is after we finish recording, but just putting a little disclaimer here in the beginning. Listen at your own discretion.
All my fault, FYI.
Girl, nothing is your fucking fault, okay?
I bring the darkness.
I was born in the darkness.
Oh my god, yes. I was shot out with a bunch of bats. That's how I was birthed out of Brunhilde.
Oh, okay. I feel bad for her coochie. Oh god, I hope she doesn't listen to this episode.
No, she'd be laughing right now. She probably listens to it after a few glasses of wine. She's like, that's my daughter and her friend Brooke.
So that's my girl.
Literally, I could shit bats and she'd still be very proud of me. So here. It's good. I'm glad we're there. I'm glad we're at that point, Brunhilde. Thanks for listening. Hi mom. Yeah, I mean, we've been through the ringer a little bit the past 2 weeks. And you mentioned it today, kind of like what me and my partner have been going through, but that seasonal depression is hitting us so hard in our hemisphere. We're in the Northern Hemisphere, for those who don't know.
Yeah. I haven't. This is the first year in several years that I feel like I have felt it. I felt like when I started Lexapro in 2020 that, sorry, I got like a burp stuck in my throat. It felt kind of crazy for a second. I felt like Lexapro really helped me to get over and battle through seasonal depression, and it was just like it just kind of went away. But this is like the first year that I have just really not felt that great, you know, after work. And like I feel like the day just flies by, and then it's just like, what the fuck do I do with myself from now until 1 a.m. when I fall asleep? Like, I counted last night, Lindsay. I was lying in bed, and I'm like, okay, I start my day at 9, my work day at 9, and I end my work day at 5:30, and that's, like, roughly 8 hours. And then what happens to me from 6 p.m. on? What do I do? Just like, what the hell do I do? Because I don't feel like I do anything. I'm like, do I like I eat, I shower, I take Mia out a couple times, I end up getting sucked into my phone a lot. Now I've been like playing Sims with a shit ton of mods. The girlies who get it. Yes, I have wicked whims. No, I will not be taking questions.
Don't at me.
Don't at me, okay? People got to get their kicks where they can. But I just, like, I feel like it's, like, a whole separate kind of, like, work day, but it's, like, from 6 p.m. to like 1 a.m. I'm on my own clock, but I'm like fucking off. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. And that makes me bummed because I'm just like, I don't think I'd mind this much if it was bright outside. But I don't know. I guess like just languishing for like 8 hours until you go to sleep, it just like doesn't feel like a life. And I don't feel like I have the energy to hang out with people. And I don't feel like I have the room to complain about feeling lonely when I don't even really want to hang out with people either. And it's just like not a good feeling.
No, and this time of year, the sun goes down earlier and it's getting colder out. Like, it's getting real cold up here in good old Canada. And it's you just kind of don't want to leave the house. And then in the jobs that we do in the digital space, like, we're dealing with people all day and we're making so many decisions and we're project managing. By the time five hits, our brain's like, no more. Do
Yeah.
not put me through any more of this. I can't do it.
Yeah, the
You
decision
know.
fatigue. Decision fatigue fucking like that can seriously just make you it can make it really hard to get through the day when you're just like one after the other after the other, but then like at the end of the day you're just like if I have to decide between 80 different restaurants where to order in, like, fuck it. I'm just gonna not eat and I'm gonna go to bed because I can't make one more choice.
No, there's too many, like, and that's the other thing, not to sound like first world privileged white people or anything, but like, there's too many choices these days. There's just too many choices. Like, you know, and it's like, I understand everyone's like, oh, you're so autistic. You like choose the same five things over and over. I'm like, yeah, because it's easy and comfortable and I don't have to overthink in the evening. But
Yeah.
it's a real thing. I found a YouTube video. I'm not done it yet. Thank you, ADHD. ADHD. Yeah, I don't know what I'm saying anymore. And it was saying that, like, our front of our brain, what's it called? I can
Frontal
do this.
lobe.
Is it the frontal lobe? Thanks. I was going to say the cerebral cortex. I'm like, that ain't right. Apparently, we make like 100 times something to that extent. I could be wrong. Fake news. Don't quote me. We make like way more decisions than our ancestors, like when we were cavemen, and like the front of our brain has not caught up with the world today. Like, we evolutionarily are still Neanderthals, and all we had to decide was like, is my tribe safe? Is everyone healthy? Did I find food? Do I need to make a fire? Do I need to find clean water? Like, that was like their whole day. And they're like, okay, I'm gonna make a blanket. You know, or I'm gonna like, you know, go hunt a rabbit, or I'm gonna like make sure the tribe is cool. We're gonna sit around the fire all day and roast these rats that we caught. You know, like easy peas. And now, like, because we have so many decisions to make on the regular, like, we're burned out. Like, our brains have just not caught up. So, like,
Yeah.
shout out to anyone who's like decision fatigue and permanently tired. It's not your fault. You're still a caveman.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really not your fault. You are still not evolved enough, and none of us are. And
Oh.
it makes perfect sense. And that's another reason probably why we get sucked into our phones and start scrolling. And then sometimes, like in this case, I've been like real big on doom scrolling because like of all the stuff happening with like Hurricane
Oh.
Milton and everything. Like I
Shout out to our
got
Florida witches. We are
yes.
thinking of you.
Seriously, like I have friends in Florida and like co-workers in Florida. I was so worried for like about evacuating and stuff. And like, you know, you stop for the day, you pick up your phone. If something like that's happening, like you're just gonna go down so many rabbit holes. I can't tell you how many videos I bookmarked of people who couldn't get out of Florida or didn't want to leave or evacuate. And like I bookmarked their videos so I could go back and see when the next time they posted was to see if they lived. And the amount of like only 12 people in the whole state of Florida, apparently. And okay, don't quote me on this, but this is just what I read. I could be wrong. Apparently, so far, only 12 people have been counted deceased because the category five dropped down, I think, to like a two or a three around like 2 a.m. And I don't even think that Tampa got the full brunt of like what they were expecting. So that's really great. But Yeah, it was just like, just, you know, and you know what else is really crazy? And just this in general, I've been thinking about this for days, which might be the reason why I'm just like feeling so like nothing is real, life isn't worth it, blah, blah,
Oh,
blah.
no.
This is the first time for me personally in history where something that was supposed to be as like catastrophic as Hurricane Katrina was, something like that happening, and people are like live streaming it, and people are making videos of their experience, people, you know, losing their entire homes and their family members. Everything that happened with Hurricane Helene, like Asheville is destroyed, and there's so
Oh
many
my God,
people
yeah.
who just like are not getting, they're not getting help. Like, it's insane. Like, there's still entire families missing. There's entire neighborhoods washed out. There's parts of North Carolina where people can't get in or out because the roads caved in. And it's like, this shit is crazy because we've never gotten to watch in real time. Like,
No, it's we've never been more connected, and it's
yeah.
the thing, this is two things. Sorry, take over. Two things. One, Dolly Parton did donate like a buttload of money, like it was in the millions. So bless our patron saint, Dolly Parton. You're the reason for Buffy the Vampire Slayer, all your amazing songs, and you contributed to this because, like, what happened in Asheville is terrible. But I actually had a nightmare about something like this. And it actually happened to someone I know in real life. So the band that I used to be in, the guitarist is from Asheville, and he went on tour in Australia. And while he was in Australia, he saw videos of where he grew up his entire life being completely underwater and swept away and not able to get in touch with his family. I've only met this man once. He's lovely. I was in tears. That is the most terrifying thing to go travel the world and do what you love, and then all of a sudden your whole hometown is underwater and you can't get a hold of your family. Like, it's hard on our mental health. Like, the thing is like we have been more connected than ever before, but that also like weighs heavily on our own emotions and like mental health because of that connection. Like, I feel for those people and I don't really know them.
It's terrifying, and it really like it just shakes you to your core to watch some of these people grieving in real time for their homes and their pets and like everything. And you know, you for me anyways, and this is not to say that like just because you're broken arm hurts, or just because somebody's broken leg hurts, doesn't mean your broken arm doesn't hurt. But for me, anyways, like watching that shit happen in real time and like watching these videos, like bookmarking these videos, seeing every the absolute like decimation of these towns that, to be quite honest, they North Carolina and Virginia are so similar. North Carolina, Virginia, South Carolina, Virginia, like watching these videos looks, it looks like my hometown. It looks like where I grew up. It looks like everything familiar. And, you know, I'm just thinking like so many people seem to not give a shit that this is happening. What if this was in Virginia? What if this was in Richmond? Like, what if this was happening to you, Brooke? Like, why are you feeling sorry for yourself and sad because of some like seasonal depression when like there's people dying, Kim? Like, and you're over here crying about your fucking diamond earring in the ocean. Like, that's how I have kind of felt this week. And I saw this TikTok that, oh my God, I watched it. I could only watch it 3 times because it hurt so bad. Like, I'm tearing up. It was like a mudslide coming down a mountain. And it's like a family with kids, and the mom is saying, like, get in the house, get in the house, get in the house. And she's like shoving the kids further back in the house. And you can hear the father or some like male figure was in the front of the house watching as the mudslide hit. And just the, I have never heard, it was just the deepest grief, like the from the core of his being, the way that he screamed, like everything is gone. I was beside myself, fucking crying, just like, I don't know what it was. I don't know why it, you know, I'm no stranger to grief. I'm no stranger to watching people like get their, I'm no stranger to having my world ripped out from under me. I've never experienced anything like that. And just the pure shock, I guess, in his voice, just like it was so. And all the comments too, like everybody was feeling the exact same thing. It was like just the craziest energy, like from that specific video. And it's like fucking difficult when you're like having a, you're already like not feeling that great about humanity. You're not feeling that great about like life in general. And then you keep scrolling through shit like that. And it's just like, dude, like put your phone down. Because watching this stuff, like you're aware it's happening, watching it in real time is like not going to like help your mental state. Like, take a fucking step.
No. Yeah, and that's the thing, like there's this, I learned it in therapy, is minimizing, where it's like, well, your pain isn't as bad as someone else's, but all pain is valid. I think suffering is like what unites all of us. It's that weight of grief and pain and sadness. Like we as human beings, we go through it more now than ever, apparently. I don't know. But it's wild that you mention that, because you know what happened to me recently, but it was that morning. I had been consuming so many true crime documentaries. And I've been obsessively watching, like, if you're mentally strong and you're interested, go to this YouTube channel, but if not, avoid it at all costs. It's called Soft White Underbelly with Mark, I can't pronounce his last name. And he talks with like these really interesting people who deal with everything from like surviving child abuse to drug addicts to criminals. And I was just like listening to the conversations, but because I thought they were interesting. But then it really started to like what you feed your brain is what it kind of turns into. And it was like the worst like junk food for my brain. And I was like, I don't think the world is a great place. I don't think people are great. I don't think life is great because I have been consuming so much negative media. And I'm like, my heart doesn't believe that. I have so many good people in my life. I have so much going for me. I'm not dealing with Putin or hurricanes or, you know, like I'm healthy. I don't like, I'm almost 40 and have no chronic pain. I have won the flesh prison lottery. Okay. Like I have so much to live for. And why? So I immediately clicked into listening to like Abraham Hicks and Mel Robbins. And I'm like, I got to get back on like positive content, because the seasonal depression, I'll get into what happened to me in a minute, but I didn't really notice how bad it had been hitting until I saw it hit my partner. And he is a true Capricorn, won't admit it, like most true Capricorns, like, I don't believe in that, it's zodiac stuff. I'm too cool for astrology. He's just too cool in general, in a good way. And he's a workaholic who has like four jobs. And I noticed he was sleeping in later and he was having a hard time getting up and he just didn't have any energy. And he's great in the summer, like when the sun's up and sun's out and it's warm, which I'm not a big fan of the heat, but if it makes him happy. And he's just go, 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 go. And now it's like cold and rainy and he's like got no energy and he's miserable. And I'm like, we're such an old married couple. It's like, oh shit, babe, time to change the vitamins. We need to put some more vitamin D in there and some magnesium, because we're both, it's been hitting us both pretty hard, but we're like, I don't know, the best advice, I guess, that I've taken on is just like, you have to give yourself grace and not beat yourself up. Like you said, you were just like chilling out in the evening playing Sims. That's okay. Maybe that's like what your body and your brain needs right now. Like all things considered, you've had a busy year, girl. Like,
Yeah, this has been a very busy year, and it's nice to just like turn my brain off for making my own life decisions and just like be silly and goofy and make like fake life decisions in The Sims. Like, it's so, and then, like I said before, the people who know the fucking mods are off the chain. I'm over here like hitting Control Shift C, killing off annoying Sims, like getting them struck by lightning, like all types of crazy shit. And I'm just like, you know what?
Yeah, it feels good to have some control. Yeah, I'm God here, bitch. I
Yeah.
am God.
Lord of the Sims.
It's so fun. I'm about to finish up my first actual generation. I've never in my life played all the way through a generation. So I've got like, actually, it's funny. The original two, it was me and Jackson. I'd made me and Jackson Sims together in a house. We had Lilo and Laurel, our two kids. Then Jackson just like got so mad in the game that he died.
Oh no.
He got so mad he died, and my Sim ended up remarrying Santa Claus. And now Lilo and Laurel are full grown adults. They both experience teen pregnancy. That's a mod. And yeah, right now I'm having some issues with like a lot of my Sims, like embracing naturism a little bit too much and just walking around full ass naked, but that's my fault because I installed these mods.
You
Anyway.
log in on Halloween and they're all naked dancing around a fire.
For real. That's exactly. I'm just like, I know y'all are getting up to some freaky deaky shit when I ain't on here.
Multiple second and third generations of Sims.
Dead ass for real. Also, all of my dogs on The Sims. So I, because I have like the cats and dogs pack on there, obviously, because I have to have a dachshund in every game I play. I've got to have weenie dogs. I've had like probably eight dogs in this specific game, all dead, but all their ghosts are still lingering around the house. So like, they howl constantly. It's just little ghost dogs wandering around. Honestly, this would be like really funny TikTok content. Maybe I should make a maybe I should
No,
make an account just for this.
it's pretty on brand for you.
Yeah, controlled chaos. That is exactly on brand for me. Precisely. But
Only played Sims once, and I their nonsense just bothered me too much, and I couldn't listen to their nonsense anymore.
was I go like blarney blah
Yeah,
blah.
I'm like, this is not a language. Please stop.
It's
No.
You know what's so funny to me is like a few of the times that my Sim and Santa Claus have been getting it on, for some reason the music automatically turns to the Sim version of Hot in Here by Nelly. So
I
Santa's like,
can't.
I know, dude, it's so
My elder millennial heart just can't. So hot in here.
So take off all your clothes. But instead of English, it's like, we gooby dooby schnoob.
Oh no, I would die. That is my hell loop. I cannot. Okay, so question. Is he like regular Santa? Is he like hot Santa? Is he like ripped Santa? Like what's the
Oh,
age difference?
his name is Clement Frost, and I've already like changed his appearance in like the modding area because I could not handle seeing my like adult young Sim bang this old gray like Santa character. So I made him kind of look a little more like a college professor. But in the game as Santa Claus, he had like kind of like the flippy hair, the male
Yeah,
flippy. He had the
like the
flippy
Dave
hair.
Grohl.
Exactly. He had
Yeah.
Dave Grohl flippy hair. He had a big white beard. And he keeps, even though I've changed his outfit several times, he keeps putting on his Santa outfit. And it's pissing me the fuck off because I have set up multiple outfits for him to change into and gotten rid of all of those. And there has to be a glitch. Like, I'm tired of you putting your Santa robe back on after our Sims bang. Like, stop it.
It's his like it's where he feels most confident. Like, like it's his blankie, his safety blankie.
Guess what, Clement? I'm in control now, buddy. Me, I'm the captain now. So stop wearing. There's no Santa Claus, okay? You're my Sam's husband. Act like it, damn it.
Y'all, Christmas is canceled because Santa's been too busy pranking Brooke.
For real. For real. And I'm just like, you know what? When she remarried Santa, it was very much one of those things that was like, you know what? My Sim is like grieved a long time. Her husband of her father of her children died. Like she just wants someone to be good to her. And she meets fucking Santa Claus by the fireplace on Christmas Eve. And I'm like, damn, you know what? I'm a fucking woohoo Santa. We go get it on, and she falls in love with him. And it's like his personality traits pop up, and it's like he's goofy. He loves children. He's like a giver or whatever. What the fuck ever. Like, of course you're a giver. You're goddamn Santa Claus. And she falls in love with him, and she's just so happy with him. And I'm just like, you know what? He might be old as fuck, big back ass Santa. At least she's happy. At least she's happy.
Yeah, he's a magical guy. Like, maybe he's got her under his spell and she thinks he's a lot younger than he is. He's actually like 360, but
Which is
magic
so
is
funny.
magic.
It's so funny because she actually aged up into an elder last night. So I'm gonna be really upset when she dies because her name is Brooke in the game. So it's technically me dying in the game. Although I'd never bang Santa.
You say
But
that.
you say that. But Lana Del Rey exists and she is the prototype.
Oh my God, I have no life and I did a deep dive. I almost said a deep dove. I don't think that's a word.
A
I
deep.
went into that and apparently this guy is her one and only, but he's like this older man who, what the fuck does he do?
He's an alligator tour guide.
You know what? Like, that's the thing. If you have a connection, like, if you, as long as she's like happy, I
Yeah.
just. And we got a few good albums out of her. He better not break her heart, but if he does, like at least we know another album's on the way. But I don't wish
Yeah.
that upon anyone. I'd rather you be happy than give us another album after you gave us like Born to Die, Paradise, All for Violence. Like, oh my God, so many good albums. Like it,
Norman
you're, you
fucking
can re
Rockwell.
you can yeah, you can retire early. Like it's cool. We get it. Like you gave us like Summertime Sadness and Video Games. Like we gold. But I don't know, man. I'm dating someone who's totally not my type, but it works.
Yeah. You don't gotta
Yeah,
be
it's just
judging
wild, though.
happiness.
I was just kind of expecting her to like pull a Grimes and like, date Elon Musk for a bit or some shit, because she's just so
Jesus.
big.
I don't know if I'd be able to listen to Lana Del Rey's music anymore if she dated Elon Musk. And that's saying something because I've been a Lana stan for my whole life, practically.
Brooke is actually only 14.
I've only ever been 14 through 29.
Yeah. No more, no less. My word. We got so off topic.
Yeah, we really did. I was just about to say, how the hell did we get onto the now that you guys know my Sims lore, let's like actually talk about what the fuck we're doing.
Hope you enjoyed that rant and learning about something. If okay, before we get on to my story, sorry to do this to you, but I'm not. I'm just Canadian, that's why I'm apologizing. Explain The Sims to someone who has no idea what The Sims is.
It is a simulation game where you create characters and then control their little lives.
Okay. And
Yeah.
they speak a weird language, and
They
you
speak
can love Santa
Spanish.
Claus.
Yeah, and you can do a lot of crazy things, and there's a lot of crazy mods that you can install illegally into the game. Nobody tell. Please don't. I need my mods.
And there you have it. I've only ever, like I said, I've only ever played once, and I just couldn't do their language, but I get the gist of it. So my seasonal depression either hit or hasn't hit yet, or I'm disassociating, and it's probably happening right now, and I don't even realize it. Might as well talk about it because there's been a lot of beautiful lessons during this. So I haven't been super public about it, but I unfortunately I hate saying had, but I had a friend from back home who I loved deeply and greatly. And he was this really amazing person, just like life of the party, socially funny. I can still hear his laugh. I think I miss his laugh the most. And we met, during my time in my first band, and he was the biggest supporter. And back then, he didn't drink, and I really looked up to him. We actually like almost ended up dating for like a few days there, and like I understand now. I was a raging alcoholic in an all-girl punk band, guys. I was the hottest mess. Like, I was the worst version of myself during this time. And this friend was like such a positive influence on my life and someone I really looked up to. And like, it didn't end up happening because like I didn't find nice, healthy guys attractive. I needed the drama. But I also thought like, he was too good for me, and I was just going to make his life worse because, like, I'm a hot mess. So, like, why bring this person into it? But we remain friends for a really long time. And I would say we kind of stopped talking when I joined that band I was in, and I went on like world tours and stuff. And we'd keep in touch. But I have so many great memories with this person. And they're just one of those people that you really. I hope everyone gets to have a friendship like this in their lifetime, but someone that you just want the best for. You're like, I just want you to have everything you deserve in life because you're such a good person. Like, when you meet someone and that just your energy, your nervous system relaxes around them and their energy's so good, and you're like, you would be like such a good dad. Like, you'd be just like, you're just such a cool person. Like, thanks for being my friend. So we kind of lost touch over my years of being in that band and all the traveling, and we'd like stay in touch, but I found out during that time, which like kind of became a shock to me. And anyone listening back at home, this is my story. Like, we all have our own story of this person. We all love this person and respect them. I just need to tell it from my story and my truth. So if anything, if I say is, oh, you're telling too much, and you're overexposing him. It's my story with him, so go kick rocks. He started drinking, and I was like, yo, I was not expecting this, but he seemed to be like just a casual drinker. And it got to that point where he's like, I can enjoy this in my life. But the truth is, from what I understand, he didn't know who his dad was. He was there for his mom, who was a single mom. I know he had sisters, and for some reason my memory can't remember if it was two or three. I was also a raging alcoholic during the time, and I met some of them, and you think I remember their faces or names? Like, God no. But he worked in the service industry, so if he wasn't in the kitchen, he was serving. And that's actually how he met my mom. Brynhilda met him once. He served us at a random restaurant. I didn't even know he was working there. It was during my time in the big band, and he just like comes out and he's like, hey. And I'm like, oh my God. My mom fell in love with him, said I should date him. She wanted me to marry him instantly. Of course, like, Brynhilda's like attractive guy, respected in his field, super nice, love his energy. I'm like, I know Brynhilda, okay. But yeah, my sister and my mom knew him, and they really liked him. But anyways, moving on onward, just giving you a little bit of his lore and background here. He reconnected with, like, he's like, we gotta go hang out and like get food and like just chat. And I'm like, okay, sick. This was this time last year. And we're like, okay, day and time, we're gonna meet at this place. I'm gonna get samosas and lemonade, and you're gonna have like whiskey on the rocks and fries or something. Whatever makes you happy, cool. So, leading up to it, he sends me a text and he's like, just don't be shocked when you see me. And I'm like, well, like, what happened? Did you get like, a facelift or something? Like, what's going on? Mind you, this friend of mine is a year older than me. So, yeah, just to give, I'm almost 40, so you can do the math. And I was like, well, what's going on? And he's like, oh, I have MS. I'm like, what? So I saw him, and he was a little bit wobbly. We had a great time. We had a very deep chat. We were there for like 3 hours. And then, he asked me to drive him home, and that was the last time I saw him. But during those 3 hours, I had discovered, oh, this sucks. This is where the trigger warning comes in. If you don't want to listen past this, I'll understand. But fuck, life did him dirty. He got an MS diagnosis, and it was really aggressive. Like, I'd say he got it in his early 30s. And when he first heard about it, he did try to take his life. He was not successful. And he was on disability with the government, but there wasn't enough money there. And he was working jobs under the table, but because of his illness, he kept injuring himself. It was really not good. And also, because of it, he had developed a huge issue with drinking. For those who don't know, I am a recovered alcoholic. I am almost 3 years sober. And it was really hard for me to watch him deteriorate like this. And he would stay in touch and over text, but he just, or he tried to call a few times too, but he would be drunk and the texts would just be, riddled with spelling errors and not, listen, I have dyslexia, okay, like spelling errors galore, but like just like you could tell, like missed entirely typing out an entire word. And it was really difficult for me because of my own sobriety and me trying to protect that. And it's like, I love this person so much. Like, this is where I've struggled with this. I love this person so much. But I'm sober now, and them not being sober is hard for my sobriety, and I have to protect myself. So the last time I heard from him was around his birthday in April. And then I've had a really busy year. Like, I've moved, I've worked my way up at work, day job, still making new music. It's just been wild. Like, I moved cities and everything. And last Tuesday, after I decided no more garbage media, got to be positive, I open up my Facebook and I see people posting about this person like they're not here anymore. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? So I was in shock at first, and I did a deep dive, and I still don't fully know what happened, but there was a re police report went out of him missing. And just the crazy part about all of this is he lives in the neighborhood where I grew up now, which is crazy. And he also lives with one of my partner's good friends, which is also like so weird when we found that out. And there was a missing persons report put out for him. And then when they found him, he was deceased. I would rather just, I want to know what happened. The autistic urge to know why. I just want to know what happened. If he, it does, it just doesn't sound good because I have, if I know his MS was progressing and his drinking was getting worse. And either way, his body gave out. He put himself in a dangerous situation, or he decided to go that night. And the wave of anger, like the crazy thing about grieving is they say there's all these steps, but you can experience it all at once, all of it all at once, or you can experience it all backwards. Like, yeah, there's definitely shock. Like, I don't want to believe this, but the wave of anger I had, how mad I was for days, because this was such a good person who did not deserve this. Like, just, it's so tragic. Like, I had a friend, a really good person, too, at 19, die suddenly in a car accident. And that one, that took me years to recover from. I've written songs about this person. Like, I loved her so much. She was such a great person. She was so inspiring. She found Jesus near the end, which was crazy, but like, still loved her. I'm like, you can love Jesus. I'll still love you. Like, it's cool. Still cool. It's cool if you want to talk about Jesus, like, whatever makes you happy. One of the cool Christians. But I was so mad at the government for doing this to people, even though we live here in Canada and we have this quote unquote free healthcare system. It's not all free. It's not all as great as, like, it's better than, yes, second and third world countries, but like, it's not full package. And I was so mad that life had done him dirty. I was so mad that he got sick. I was so mad that, like, you know, and it was his choice that he wanted to start drinking. I think originally he wasn't drinking because alcoholism ran in his family. But to see someone you love go so young and just be taken by an addiction, but also like a really stupid illness that no one should get ever, especially at that age. It just was like, I went for that week. Like, we were supposed to, you and I were supposed to record that week, and you're like, girl, no. Like, no, please, like, I like to work myself away from grief, and use work as a distraction, but it's also just like not a good idea. I actually had a radio show that night that I had to go to. But then when I saw my partner after he came to pick me up, that was it. I just collapsed and couldn't stop crying. But I've gone through stages of, there was definitely like hours I would just disassociate on the couch, and then my partner could see I was struggling, and he'd be like, do you want to talk about it? And he'd let me cry. And God, I'm so grateful I have a partner who gives me this space to grieve. But it's just, I think the thing that I cried about the most is, I wanted this person to be around for the rest of my life. Like, you think, you know, you just kind of, and it's not like we choose this, we just kind of go on like, tra la la la, this person will be in my life forever. And then these things happen, and it's like, holy shit, tomorrow is not promised. Holy shit, life is so fragile. And my friend not being there when I'm 40 and I'm 50 and I'm 60, I think that just like, that broke my heart. But also, when I started coming out of it, there was also like this weird, if you practice gratitude, I think there's this weird wave of gratitude that comes into the grieving process, because then you're just like, fuck, I'm so grateful for these things, because, you know, you realize like how bad it could be. But there's no way of getting around it. Like, I have been grieving, and I lost someone I loved dearly that I wanted in my life forever. Oh God, for those who know, it was 2 days later. It was my best friend's birthday. He lives in Australia. His name's Zen, and he's in quite a few metal bands. And he's like this very stoic, you know, king of the goths, like, speaks like Alan Rickman. And I sent him this birthday message, 4 minutes of me, like, being like, I'm so happy we exist, and just like crying. He knew my friend passed away, and then I was just like, ugh, I love you so much. I love our friendship. Like, I hope we could grow up together. And his response was just like, I have a hard time taking compliments, but that was a very sweet message. I hope you're okay. And I'm like, I'm
Jesus.
not. He's a good sport. He's been God, how long have we been friends? 11 years or something? Like, he's been in my life actively for like a long, long time. So if like if you can get through a crying birthday wish message, you can very on brand checks out me crying on your birthday wish. But it just hit at such a time. So it's been heavy, but I think this is another thing that I know people need to hear about is when it comes to like the funeral or the wake or the celebration of life, there is one happening for him, but due to a work trip, I actually can't go. But before I found out it was falling over the work trip, I made the decision to not go because I don't do well at funerals. And a lot of the people that him and I were connected through are people from back home who I haven't seen in over 10 years. And this is just a little glimpse into what like life in Oshawa is like being part of a quote unquote music scene. Some people don't like me because I got out because I had work ethic. And it's like, oh, you think I didn't hear about all the shit you talked about me? I heard about all the shit you talked about me. And I know it's been 10 years. I know it's been 10 years and you've probably grown out of it, but I know y'all as cowards and would never apologize. I probably don't know that I know of the shit you talked about me, but I just can't, for my own integrity, maybe I'm not healed about this yet, but I just can't go to someone's funeral and be like, oh, I'm so sorry. How's life? How you doing? No, I am grieving the loss of my friend. Seasonal depression, friend died. Promotion at work, tired. Working on the next album, tired. Sad. I ain't got any patience for anyone. I'm gonna go to this funeral and I'm gonna be like, oh wow, you actually had a kid? Wow, I remember you couldn't keep a plant house alive. Like I'd be a straight up bitch at my friend's funeral. I would just be like, wow, you actually grew up and procreated?
You
Don't you
said
need
a
a
plant
license for that?
house. You said a
A
plant
plant house.
house.
Y'all brain be broken. A plant house, a greenhouse. You burn down the greenhouse. A house plant.
Can't even keep
Y'all,
a plant house alive.
I can't even keep a sentence alive. Why am I judging anyone? I am not perfect. But some of these people at home were acting a fool and being bitches. And I just and I know it was 10 years ago, but I have a bit, okay, some like y'all want the real deep, you all want the real trigger behind this trauma. I had a band back at home, and one of the members of the band was just such a dick to me, and it's essentially like why the band broke up. But to this day, they go online and they go on about how cool we are and how we're such good friends. And I'm like, oh no. Do you remember the time you told me I wasn't a good singer and I was like, holding everyone back, even though I was doing 90% of the work. Like, and you never apologize for any of that, but now you have the audacity to tell people that we're still friends. I just need to remove them from my Facebook. This is a me thing. I brought this onto myself. But I just can't go back home and talk to these people. I'm like, clean slate, all is forgiven. Nah,
No,
nah.
wouldn't. I would be like, listen here, I know we're at a funeral, but we can step off of this plot of land right now and I'll go beat your ass out in the parking lot, 'cause I'll be damned if I like tarnish my friend's memory with a fight, with a kerfuffle. But I will beat your ass across the way, across the parking lot. I'll whoop your ass.
We'll throw hands. I'll throw
Literally.
hands. I'll
I'll
throw
throw
words,
hands.
and then they'll be throwing hands. Like,
I'll throw hands. I'll throw rocks.
and maybe I'm being really dramatic, but it's like, two things are gonna happen. It's like, I know what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna bite my tongue and swallow all this, like, whatever it is, vitriol that I've got going on inside. And then I'll be even more exhausted after it's a celebration of life. I don't know if there's actually like a legit funeral. So I sent some photos to my friend who's doing the slideshow for it, and I just said, I send you my love. Like, I'm so sorry. Because her and her husband were like best friends with him. And I decided for me and for my own mental health and my own sanity, when I, after my work trip, when I get back in time for Samhain, I'm gonna put together a little shrine for him and I'm gonna say goodbye to him in my own way. But the I was doing so good. I was like, oh man, I haven't cried yet today. Like, this is great. And then me and my partner were walking for dinner because my partner is very spontaneous with the dates. And he's like, let's go get dinner. And I'm like, ooh, okay. Thanks for buying me food. We get to spend time together sick. And we were walking out, and after having our friend Melissa on the podcast with, signs of the afterlife, my friend, he loved hawks and he had a massive hawk tattoo on his back, like huge. It covered his whole back. It was wild. And we're out walking, and I was thinking about him, and a hawk flew over top of us. And I'm like, I'm gonna go cry now. He's just saying hi. But I feel for me, that was just like him being like, it was affirmation for me with all the things I was struggling with. Like, it's okay that you kept your space because you're protecting your alcoholism and not relapsing. And it's okay that you feel the way you do about all of this. It was just a very, it was a beautiful time of night. It was like golden hour. I think that's what they call it. I have too many photography friends. I think
Yes.
that's what they, yeah, where it's like, it's just like that time of night when the sky is going pink. This is going to shit rain on us the next day, obviously. And and I saw this hawk, and it was weird because I looked at it first, and it's like, I know he sent it to me because I would, it was a tiny hawk, and I'm like, I can tell it's a hawk and not a falcon because I was going to be a zoologist at one point. God, I, what is wrong with me? And that was wild to like, see a rare little hawk go by and be like, okay, I hope he's, I don't know, you just have your knowing, and it's like, I think he went on to the other side peacefully. But what I was trying to get at was, when someone passes away, I think we need to start normalizing saying no to the funeral, saying no to the wake, saying no to the celebration of life if it's just not good for you. Because something that my generation's boomer ass parents did, there was no autonomy. You had to go to these things whether you liked it or not. You had to give weird, creepy Uncle Bob a hug, even though you didn't want to. You had to, and we're in a time where it's like, you know what? Like, if you don't have the strength mentally to go through something like that, remove yourself from it and find your own way to say goodbye and grieve, whatever that may look like. And I know us witchy people have our own ways of grieving, and Samhain is just the best time of year to do that. Every year I have a Samhain shrine, and I've meditated and I've gotten messages from my grandparents, and it's emotional and it's beautiful. But you don't got to do what everyone else is doing because we've been doing it. This is what we always do. We're doing it for hundreds of years. You don't have to. But thanks for giving me the space to talk about it, because like, holy shit, it hit like an 18-wheeler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's hard.
But yeah. But I'm getting through, and I'm just, as me and my one of my friends say, I'm just doing my best.
Yeah. That's all you can do. And if your best is like, if your 100% is just being able to get out of bed and maybe make yourself like a cup of coffee, then like that's your best. That's your 100%.
Yeah, there's just a few days like that, but I tell you, like, it all came, like, there's you can't schedule death. Okay, you can, but that aside, wait, you can, actually you can, but these things, it's just like, oh, I'm just gonna schedule in a depression. Oh, I'm just gonna schedule in this cold. Like, there's just certain things that are completely out of your control, but like, the studio deadline and the promotion at work and then my friend passing away all came at once. And I've told people the last 2 weeks, I'm like, don't contact me. You ain't gonna get a response. It's like, I love you, but leave me
Yeah.
alone.
Yeah.
But I don't know, losing friends young is losing anyone. Like, you expect it with elderly and grandparents and sometimes parents, depending on the situation. But when someone in their 30s gets such an aggressive illness and goes so soon, and you're like, no, like, he had his whole life ahead of him. What the hell happened? It's a lot to wrap your head around. You don't want to think about it too much, but there is a part of you that just like, I've never had like a rage grieve, if that makes any sense. Like old man shakes fist, yells at cloud, like from The Simpsons to quote, like, just like, I'm angry at, I don't know why I'm angry, but I'm angry.
Yeah, like angry at the powers that be, whatever powers that they are. I get that. I mean, I felt that when my dad died. Even though I knew it was coming, it was still extremely fast, and like I never imagined growing up without him. And I've had like several childhood friends die suddenly when I was like still a teenager, and those moments are really when like when you lose people when you're that young and they're young and you're like, so we're not immortal, you
So I'm
mean,
like not gonna wake up tomorrow, maybe.
so like what the fuck. Granted, like a lot of them were freak accidents, one of them was an overdose. But
Jeez.
like it's just like God, it just reminds me of like, remember the episode recently where we were saying like sometimes the best like the gratitude practice is like to hug somebody and just be like, if this was the last time I was ever gonna get to hug this person, like
Yeah.
being extra grateful. And I know it sounds like so fucking morbid, but like sometimes the only way I can get myself out of bed before hanging out with somebody is literally to just think like, if something happens to them and you don't get to spend this day with them, you're gonna look back on it for the rest of your life and you're gonna think like, what I wouldn't give to have one more day to just goof off with my best friend. Like, what I wouldn't give to have one more day to just lay on the couch and do nothing with them, or go thrifting with them, or go to the concert with them. And I know, like, not everybody needs that type of morbid ass motivation to get themselves out of the bed. But sometimes when you are depressed as fuck, sometimes only thinking about it could get worse, bitch. Like, that's the only thing that's gonna like get you out of the bed. Look at my nose. My nose is red because I'm tearing up.
Oh no. I thought it was because you're with Santa Claus.
No, only my sim. Only my sim gets it on with Santa Claus.
That was the part of all of that, like you saying that was the hardest part for me in the beginning. Cause like, hello, raised Roman Catholic, so much guilt. And I felt so bad for not spending more time with him and for not like, cause you don't know when someone's gonna go. And I was just like, oh, he's probably going to be around. It'll maybe at least another 10 years. It won't be great for him, but he'll be around. And I was like, I wanted to spend more time with him. But the thing that, like, oh man, and this just sounds like so vain and self-loathing. But the thing that just hit me the hardest is just like, man, I wish I was stronger in my sobriety. I wish I was a stronger person. And I actually just said, like, screw it, like stop being a baby and like spend more time with them. If you have the temptation to drink or this is hard on your mental health, like you'll call your therapist or talk to your my partner's also sober too and be like, like I have a support system in place. But that was just the thing. It's just like, God damn it, like you never know when people are gonna go. But I was talking to my partner's mom. And she's like, you can't do that to yourself. There's only so much of you that can go around.
Yeah.
Like, true. You don't want to spread yourself thin, but I think this person was such a good person. Like, the most loving, reasonable, goofy, Just awesome person. And I know he understood. I know that he knew it was hard for me to see him like that. He knew I was sober. He knew that I was like really trying to turn my life around as I have been for quite a while now. And it's just unfortunate. Like, I never thought he would drink. But yeah, it's a tough one. It's a really, really tough one. Like, it was just, I don't know what more to say about it. I feel like I'm talking in circles at this point, but
No, you're just talking through your feelings.
thanks for holding that space for me. I actually did you okay, I only put it on my private story. I don't know if you saw it, but this was like this actually came a few days after this person passed away, and I was out. So I work from home and I need to take a daily walk and just like get out of the house and get some sunshine or else I go insane. And I was on my walk to get coffee, and on my way back, this was such a beautiful moment. And I don't even know who these people are if I'll ever see them again, but I live next to a tennis court. And I'm walking by, and there's this older man playing tennis with this kid who's got to be like 14. And they're hitting the ball back and forth, and the kid keeps missing the ball. And from what I could gather, he was either just he was recovering from an injury or he was leveling up. And he's like, "I'm not getting it, like it's not working," and he's getting like really frustrated. And the coach, what I assume was his coach because he came off like a teacher, is like, "No, you just gotta like try it from this angle." And the kid's like getting really angry. He's like, "It's not working." And he's like, "Whoa." He's like, "Listen." He's like, "What did the coach say?" He's like, "I understand you're frustrated right now. And you can be angry in here. You can be angry. You can be angry at this. You can be angry that you're not getting it. You can be angry at me. I don't take it personally because I know you're going through a frustrating time." He's like, "Just so you know, though, if you behave this way outside of here, most people will take it as an attack and they won't appreciate it. So you can be angry here, but just know that out in the real world, this kind of emotion is not going to go very well for you because of how most people take it."
Ooh.
And I was like, that was just like a Buddhist moment. Like, first of all, that kid was frustrated about something. And it could be something else in his life that is way bigger than just not hitting the ball with his racket properly. But the fact that like he had someone in his life who was like, "It's okay to be angry. You can be angry here. I'm not going to take it personally." But like that, just like, "Just so you know," like how he says, like, "You behave this way outside of here, it's not going to go so well for you. People don't take it the way I do." I was like, I nearly dropped my coffee. Like, does this man do therapy?
Yeah.
Because I think everyone needs him. Like, you can have this space, but don't leave my room and then talk to other people like this. You're gonna have a lot of problems in life. And I just love that this kid who's going through such a hard time had that one person in his life, because I know my parents could not handle my big emotions, and then you just like stuff them inside and you never express yourself. So like holding space for people when they feel a certain way is so it's so it's everything. It's so important. And that's why I'm so grateful for you, Brooke, because you've been so kind and supportive through this whole thing.
Of
And it,
course.
like I can just count a few people and be like, they've really held space for me, so thank you.
Of course. I think one thing that a lot of people struggle with when like listening to, and I used to be like this, when listening to their friend going through something, is thinking that when someone comes to you that they automatically want you to make them feel better or they want you to give them a solution. And so, with things like this, there is no solution except to just like move through it because it's grief and it's normal. But with other situations in life, I'm like, okay, do you want to vent to me or do you want help? Because I'm here for both,
Right.
like I'm here for either kind of support that you want, but like I want to support you in the best way that that fits your needs right now. And I think that's like realizing that as an adult, that you can give other adults options like that, kind of like you would give like a kid. Like I know with a lot of kids, like it helps them regulate their emotions when you give them two choices. It like kind of helps them focus in a little bit. But like, yeah, I mean, a lot of times when I go to my friends, most of the time when it's about a problem, I just want to get it off my chest. Like I just want them to hold space. And I feel like they're much more likely and able to hold space when they don't feel like, oh, she needs a solution. I need to fix this for her. I need to help her. Like, it's up to me to help her process this. It's up to me, So I don't know. I'm always going to be a sounding board for whatever. And you've obviously, how many, you've heard me and watched me cry several times this year. Several.
Yeah, girl, you've been through it, and I will always listen and then say they're a bunch of buttholes or they're a butthole.
Yeah. If I ever need anybody to be called a butthole, Lindsay
Oh, I'm your person.
and then I
I
can
am.
create them on The Sims and I can mod strike them down with a lightning bolt.
It's just Sims is just your anger management. Let's be real.
They're making a Sims movie, and I swear to God, if they don't make like a scene where a ladder gets taken out of a pool and the Sim in the pool dies, like I'll be so disappointed because that's the OG way to kill a Sim, is take the ladder out of the pool. But now they have it so that they can pull themselves out of a pool even without ladders. You can also make buildings like with no doors and they will go crazy in one room by themselves and die. It's great. Like, it's really my
Okay.
fixation right now.
This makes all the sense because I saw a meme the other day with a ladder in a pool and Sims, and it's like, if you know, you know.
Yep.
Okay, well, I get it. I get it. I was
Imagine
like, what? You
my
can't swim?
surprise. My fucking surprise when Sims 4 came out after Sims 3. Sims 4 came out 10 years ago, right? And all of a sudden, they could pull themselves out of the pool with no ladder. And I'm like, now I gotta figure out new ways to kill you. God, I love the game.
I understand now. I get it.
You get
Wow.
it.
I get it. It's like squishing ants without the guilt of squishing ants.
Yes, exactly. And it also is just like, it's therapeutic. And it really, like, yeah, it's a game, but like, it sometimes it makes me feel productive when like I don't actually want to move off my couch and it makes me feel like I have control over something and it makes me laugh because it really is such a funny, it's even funnier with mods because like just there's nothing you can't do on The Sims and it's just like I don't know man, right now like the world is really fucking going through it and my body feels like something bad is about to happen. Like my body feels like it's 2020 again. And I don't know if it's because of the impending election. I don't know if it's
There it
because
is.
of, all of the devastating, like the fires happening on, the west coast of the US and then like the hurricanes and stuff and Asheville and just like all this heavy, heavy, heavy shit. I'm not going to be a conspiracy theorist and be like, it's because it's election year, but I really do find it so interesting how every fucking election year in the US, crazy shit happens, like astronomically, just next level weather shit, next level like traumatic freak accident. It just, whatever. Anyways, it's just a nice escape. And it's better, to be honest, I'd rather play Sims for 6 hours straight than scroll on my fucking phone for 6 hours straight. Like,
I know, I feel you. And that's why I started tuning out. Like, there's always going to be bad things in the world. And I was just like, I gotta stop focusing on like this devastation. And I know astrologically, like if anyone's an astrologer in astrology, they'll know like it's in the astronomy right now, everything that's going on. But I just tuned it out and I started turning on Abraham Hicks because I have some big dreams. And if I'm in a shitty state of mind, I'm just going to keep attracting problems and think that the world sucks. And then, it's okay to be a bit delulu, but like, I got to remember there's good people, there's good stuff. There's still, if I wake up tomorrow, there's still lots of awesome experiences and things to come. And it's like, I have to put myself back in that energy. It's actually been a great weapon against seasonal depression. Like, if you need a break, take a break, check your vitamins, check your diet, get a sun lamp. Like, those, you can get them on Amazon for like $20. It's like, it's great. Do what you got to do to get yourself, or if you want to sit in it and be sad, like, my people, knock yourself out. Like, but I understand what you're saying about like your nervous system's probably just wrecked, and America's going through it. Damn, you all going through it up here in Canada. Just like, we got maple syrup and Canadian geese. We
Well, I mean,
okay.
maybe I'm just like out of touch with like what's going on in Canada, but like I feel like I don't remember the last time there was any kind of like massive, crazy, like earth-shattering anything, like whether it's weather or injustices with like the government. I'm just like, obviously, I know Canada's not perfect, duh, like no
God,
country
no.
is, but I'm just like, do y'all just like sometimes look down here at us in America and they're like, oh, damn, oh.
Oh, all the time, every day.
God.
Like, yeah, we do have some, like, we have a bad history for the fir with the First Nations, and we have a day of remembrance for that. We have our healthcare system is not perfect. There's a lot of things, but like, I don't know, like Toronto got flooded a while back because of the storms, and then they're like, damn, we need to reconstruct our entire sewage system. Here's some more traffic. It's like, God damn it, that's not what we asked for, but okay. Like, I don't know. We haven't had anything too crazy. I'm very grateful to live in Canada. I'm not shitting on Canada. I spent my first 3 weeks in Russia when I went on tour many, many moons ago. I came back and I saw my dad and I like cried. And he's like, I missed you so much. I'm like, I missed being in Canada. No one's nice to you. They don't like outsiders. They get angry when you won't eat their food because you have an allergy. Just like, I was just like, I love Canada. Oh my God, I'm never complaining about Canada ever.
Bro, that was how I felt when I got back from France. I was like,
Really?
yes, because motherfuckers was rude to your girl.
No, like outsiders. They're just like they're like, oh, Americano.
Like, ugh, stupid Americans. I'm just like, you know what? Some of us are pretty stupid, but damn, we know how to have fun. We do know how to have a
Yeah.
good time. So
Party Nation, what up? Spring break forever.
I'm definitely going back to France next year.
Oh, wow.
I'm going back. My best friend there now has an apartment, and I told her during her when she comes back for Christmas in a couple of months, just like we did last Christmas, I will book my flight to France to come and stay with her. And I'm going to try and stay a couple weeks. It'll depend on like who I can get to like watch after Mia for that long. Because that's a whole undertaking by itself. But
Right.
I
We live
just
closer. I'd take, apparently she's my girlfriend now. She's in love with me. I'd take Mia.
Minky loves Lindsay. She loves Lindsay so much. She was trying to type on my phone earlier and send Lindsay messages.
Was it? It's like, if you're interested. And I'm like, no, Mia, I'm not interested.
Dude, I don't know what that was. Like, does anybody else just like, you'll be like holding your phone? You can't hold your phone when you're opening, like, if it's open to like an iMessage, because you will type something and you will send it. And for some reason, what autocorrected? Whatever I smashed buttons on, it auto-corrected to if you're interested. And I'm like, unsend, it seems dirty.
I was talking about, like, if you're interested, tonight's topic can be about Sage. Like, I was like, okay.
Like, oh, let me send, let me undo, let me undo. I don't want her to, she's, let me undo before she sees it.
You could literally send me anything. You could just like text me at 4 in the morning and be like, I sharded myself, and I'd be like, I'm proud of you. Like,
Wait, I thought the other
I
day,
wouldn't care.
I meant to tell you that I was practically like peeing out my butt because I had like way too many coffees. This was a couple days ago.
You done did that to yourself.
Girl, no regrets.
No regrets. I got the work done.
No regrets. I'm cleaned out. That's all that matters. That's all that matters.
Coffee enemas for the win.
Coffee enemas for the win. Bro, okay, this is like real TMI. So if you really are still listening to the episode and you like don't want to hear anything to do with poop, please just click off and we'll talk to you next week. But if you
Trigger warning, poop.
trigger warning, poop. This episode is like so serious, but so not serious.
It's because it's us. Y'all, like, my friend died, but like, poop.
But like poop in Sims 4 with Santa Claus.
Yeah. What if I turned this podcast into so much like death, but also like laughing about it at the same
I
time?
think
I'm
that we
so
balance
sorry.
each other. We balance each other out, you know?
You
We do.
do.
We do. But what I was gonna tell you was, so couple years back, and this actually might be on the podcast, to be honest, because the podcast was definitely a thing during this time of my life. When I was having these crazy stomach issues, and I went to go get an endoscopy, and before I got it, I was supposed to clear out my insides, and they gave me the instructions to go have an enema. My grandma used to give me these when I was a little kid because I would be chronically constipated, and I had never given myself one as an adult, but I had to do that on the bathroom floor, and I was not prepared for the discomfort that even just sticking the bottle in your bunghole and emptying out the saline to give yourself said enema, okay? The worst feeling ever is anything going in there. Like, I don't. You know, more power to you if you're into that. I'm not, though. Okay. I'm just
One
not.
way street.
Dude. And it's like, so when you give yourself one, you have to hold the water in as long as you can so that you can,
Do you
like.
like jump around a little bit, shake yourself? Like,
Dude, you're in too much pain at that point to do it. I was double over
oh
on the ground on my hands and knees, just like clenching my sphincter so that I wouldn't, you know, blast away on the bathroom floor. Because you're supposed to hold it as long as you can so that when you sit on the toilet, you everything.
yes.
Girl, I lasted about 5 seconds. You're supposed to try, like, hold it like a couple minutes. This was a bottle, like probably this big of straight up saline water.
Yeah, okay.
Like, it didn't go well. I sat on the toilet and my stomach was killing me. Like, it was just,
No, it
and
hurts
it
your
was,
stomach?
yes, because it was just so full of like water from giving myself that enema. But like, if you've ever had to give yourself an
Oh
enema, like, I feel for you. How the fuck did we get on this topic?
that's a
Coffee.
great question. Coffee. You brought it up. You've done this.
I did, but you know what? Coffee, like, that was orally induced at the very least. At least I went to the bathroom because of something I drank and not something that I squirted up my bum. Okay. Anyways.
Okay, I had the virus. There's a virus going around, and for a week, nothing wanted to stay in. There was it was bad. It was the only cure was Gatorade or whatever you call it, health drink or Powerade. I don't know, sports drink. Thank God for sports drinks because I was like losing weight, and I was like, it went on for 7 days, and I told my partner, I'm like, it's not supposed to go past 5 days. If this goes until the weekend, I'm going to the hospital.
Yeah, because you could have been like dehydrated and like your organs shutting down.
Yeah, because just nothing's staying in you, and there is a virus going around right now, probably another, the big C word. And it just I was like, So yeah, like everybody poops, and sometimes we all have interesting experiences with it. So cheers to a healthy colon.
Everybody poops.
Sometimes.
Pink Poopy Club. I'm gonna keep on pooping at the. Oh my God, I need to grow up. I need to grow up.
No, we need Chapel Roan in Sims. Bloop, bloop, bleep, bleep, bleep,
Dude,
murder, murder, Asian,
you know they're going to. They have Charli XCX on Sims now.
Oh, there you go. Oh,
Charli
God, what have they done?
XCX, Paramore, Girl in Red,
Do
Lindsay,
they get
you want to be on my.
royalties for that? They better get royalties.
They do
I'm gonna
because
be hell.
they
The
sing it.
melody.
They sing it, so it's like they literally record it. Imagine how funny that would be, is like recording Pink Pony Club like for Sims. Like you have she'd have to
Be
like lean into the
dying.
mic and be like V blah blah dig 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 bop go to dig bop.
Do they actually perform it? Or do they get like a. Oh my God. Sorry, guys. The music business brain is taking over. I have so many questions about
No,
Sim songs
they just
now.
record it though. They just like record it in a studio and then like I'm sure they get royalties, hopefully, but EA owns like, the rights to it because it's like Sims.
That's it, guys. I'm quitting my day job, my music career, and this podcast to go be a Sims overdub for songs. That's it. I'm gonna make thousands. Bleepy blurping over 50 Cent.
Blurbs. Sing blah
If you are still listening to the podcast at this point, you are our people because we have absolutely lost it.
blah. We've lost it. There's no, from this point on, there's nothing. You're not going to learn anything. You're just vibing at this point.
Yeah, you're just vibing with our poop jokes and, talks of death.
Yeah.
But we hope that you guys got some good stuff out of this one. Like, sometimes we just people die and your human body goes through a thing and, it's good to talk about it. Oh,
Yeah.
and there's Miss Mia. Hi, Mia.
She's staring right at you.
I know. Hi, baby
Right at
girl.
Mia.
She, I wish everyone could see she has bows in her ear hair. That sounds really wrong, but for a dog, it's absolutely right. Did you want to do an Ostara egg or a moon moment? How did you want to
Oh, I
top up
completely forgot
today?
about the moon moment. I'm gonna be honest. I completely have forgotten about it and yeah, I guess Ostara egg. If you got this far in the episode, comment a horse. I don't know.
No, the tombstone. R.I.P.
Oh,
Rip.
okay. I was
Rip
gonna
my
say
butthole.
that. I was gonna say that, but then I was like, oh, that's too much for
No.
y'all.
Do you forget who you're talking to? Like, Queen of the Goths. Come on. Tombstones are like modern art. Okay.
You're not wrong. All right, if you got this far in the episode and you listened all the way through, go comment a tombstone on the latest Instagram or Facebook post. And yeah, we love you guys and keep on dancing at the Pink Pony Club.
Y'all, Brooke is tapping out. So am I. Thank you for listening. Thanks for holding space for me. My love to anyone who's grieving right now or has to do an enema.
Or is just depressed, like
Yeah.
you're not alone.
Oh, it'll pass.
It'll
It
pass.
always
Some
does.
say, dag, dag.